This is a book of Revelation. And it's written for those who have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive. Amen. And it's written in a way that those that don't have that only find words and debate and argument. Amen. Because, you know, it's kind of like inspiration. You either have it or you don't. When you're inspired, in the eyes of a lot of people, you're crazy. Because they can't comprehend it. If they're not inspired, they don't know what inspiration is all about. Or you might say when you're in love. If you're in love, if a person hasn't ever experienced being in love and you're in love, they may think you're crazy because you just act strange. Amen. And you can't explain what it's like to be in love to somebody that's not in love or never has been in love. You just try to express it to the one you love. Amen. And there are some things, you know, people have that or can receive that others just aren't ready for it yet. And Revelation is one of those things. Revelation. I'm in the fifth chapter. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Amen. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And some folks can hear that, and some folks can read that, and it just doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. Because questions come. What is all this? What's this all about? This lamb, this lion, this root, this book. Amen. Well, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not just the revelation about Jesus Christ. It's revelation provided for Jesus Christ. For whosoever will. Amen. And you don't have to know how to dissect the book of Revelation in order to be saved. This is kind of like dessert after a real good meal. Amen. When you've been meditating on God, you've been praying, you've been feasting on the goodness of Jesus, you've been looking at the good things of God, and you're just being blessed, and you get into a book like the book of Revelation, you can just read it, and it's just like banana pudding after Thanksgiving dinner. Amen. It's just good. And you may not be able to explain it to somebody else, but you know, how do you explain something just tastes so good to somebody unless they can taste it for themselves? Amen? Now, you may even be sitting in this place today, and you may not even know what I'm saying right now. And I don't know all that there is to say because there's a lot of stuff here. I just read through some things that concerned Jesus Christ. And in this whole book, this is teaching about Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus that was and is to come, the Almighty. It's all about Jesus. And we're Jesus' name people. We're Jesus' people. Praise God. And this is all about Jesus. It's from Jesus, about Jesus, and for people of Jesus. Amen. And so, if you're not interested in the name of Jesus, or if the name of Jesus bothers you, you may have problems with the book of Revelation because it's only about Jesus and the ways that Jesus can communicate to people that can hear his voice. Amen. Now, I could probably write some books and make a lot of money in my interpretation of what I just read here in the fifth chapter and some of these other chapters. Some people do that. You know, and I have a funny feeling about a lot of these folks, especially those that know some truth and they're writing books that are not necessarily true, and they know that a lot of things are not that are in their books are not true, but they're finding that those books sell because it's what people want to read. And you can take the book of Revelation, come up with some real interesting things that people are looking for when they go out to buy books, especially in troubled times when there's war, when the Middle East is acting up and there's threats of war, and when it looks like a lot of the things you read about in the book, in the Bible, may be coming to pass. You look at the headlines, and so a lot of people that are not even living for God suddenly become interested in knowing, you know, what's in the Bible about what's going on today. And I think it's in light of the fact that we have the instructions, buy the truth and sell it not, I think we need to be careful what we do with the Word of God, trying to profit off of something just because somebody's looking for something to read without giving them the whole truth. Amen. I think we need to grab a hold of the truth. It might cost us a lot, and we, you know, whatever it takes, get it. But once you get it, give it away. Amen. Once you get it, just give it away. Praise God. Jesus paid a great price for this, for us to be able to have it. And sometimes we have to go through some things in order to continue on in it, because not everybody's ready to receive the truth, and they won't receive you if you know the truth or if you express the truth. Amen. So what's he talking about? Well, for those that can receive it, I saw in the right hand of him, right there already. It doesn't take much because it's very simple terminology for those who will dare let God speak, revealing his word to you. It's just simply saying, I saw in the power of him that sat in authority. Amen. The word that settled from beginning to end, and that's what this first verse is all about. The words are, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. He's just saying, I saw in the power of the authority, the settled word of God that's unchangeable. Praise God. That's what he's saying. Nothing deep and mysterious. It's just simple revelation. And he's saying that this word is perfect. Did you see all that in that first verse? If you didn't, look at it again. Look at it again. Just look at it. Don't get in a hurry. Go back and let's consider. This is the word of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Amen. In other words, it's completely finished and perfect. You can't add to the Word of God. You can't change the Word of God. No matter what you believe, it's not going to add to it or take away from it. If you don't get saved, it's not going to hurt the church. If you don't receive the Word of God, it's not going to stop the Word from having an effect on somebody. If you don't go to heaven, it's not going to stop those that are from going to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus, it's not going to stop Him from being Jesus. If you cannot receive this Word even tonight, it's still going to be spoken and somebody's going to hear. And somebody already has heard it, and it gives us strength to just consider, amen, the Jesus we serve is the author of this book, and He wants to reveal Himself. He is the power in the midst of all things. Amen. When we talk about God, we talk about heaven. Heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool. Amen. This Jesus we serve is in the midst of all that. Praise God. He's in the midst of all that. Amen. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he was having revelation from God, and he saw the power of God in Jesus in the midst of the throne of God, and the settled Word that is perfect and can't be changed, and he saw the One that has the authority and the power there. Amen. And he said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? That's simply just saying, I saw an angel proclaiming with a loud voice. And when you study the book of Revelation a little bit and let it reveal itself to you, what he actually saw was somebody like me. Amen. You read about the book, the words, to the angel of the church. To the angel of the church. To the angel of the church. And you put that all in consistency all the way through the book of Revelation. He's just generally talking, and there may be a lot more to it than this, but he's not necessarily talking about some angel flying out in the sky. He's talking about the minister saying with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? In other words, if you can receive this, amen. John was actually seeing what we're all part of right now. Amen. Proclaiming with a loud voice, is there anybody out there that wants to take what God has provided and let it be something in your life? Who is worthy to open it? Now, you might think, well, nobody's worthy. And of course, we can read it right here. Nobody is, but somebody did come forward and was able to open up a way that we can all be saved. That we can all find this authority, this power, this ability to get with God in the midst of His throne, with Jesus Christ, where all the authority, all the power is, all the glory is, and realize He's the One that was crucified, that was dead, and is alive forevermore. It's possible for us to sit with Him in His power, in His authority, in the midst of everything that's settled and can't be changed. In perfection. Hallelujah. No man can open all this up, but Jesus did. Hallelujah. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. So if the preacher gets loud sometime, maybe he's just trying to do what John saw somebody do. Who's worthy? I heard somebody up here tonight saying, He's worthy. Worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the Word of God, in other words. Who's worthy to open up what God has provided in His settled Word? Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Amen. In other words, there's some things that you just can't get unless you're worthy. And you just can't be worthy unless you do it God's way. He's the One that makes us worthy. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you get Jesus in your life just right, things do open up. Praise God, the Word opens up. Things that you never could understand in your life suddenly become open to you. Praise God, because He is worthy. And when you call on His name and you find Him in your life, things open up. Understanding comes. Wisdom comes. Knowledge comes. Ability comes in order to go forward and serve God with strength and power in your life. As you find Jesus to be everything in your life, you find out that the one that is worthy to open up the way of salvation is able to take you into the perfect path that God has provided. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who's worthy to open all this up? And no man. Everybody say no man. So when somebody tries to prove to you that God is a man, I understand what they're saying, and we're not trying to deny the virgin birth of Jesus in any way. And I try to be a little careful on how I say some things that I know, because it's easy for some people who don't have this insight as to who Jesus is and what the Word of God is all about, and what God has provided and what He has revealed to those that can hear His voice. Amen. Now some people, if you say it wrong, they will label you. It'll turn them off, they will close you out, and they'll never hear what you have to say again. And you can become a stumbling block even though you have the tools necessary to help people find God. And so it takes a lot of wisdom in order to know what to say and how to say it and what information to provide, because even if you tell the truth in its simplest form, some people are not going to receive it. I mean, we get up here and we say, God is not a man. Why do we say that? Because the Bible says it. And if it's not true, if what we're saying when we say God is not a man, if that's not the truth, then why is it in the Bible? And if it's in the Bible and it's not the truth, who's to say that Acts 2:38 is the truth? Or Genesis 1 or John 3:16. How do we know anything is the truth? Because if any verse got in the Bible that's not true, you can't trust any of it. That's why we need to be careful, you know, trying to, you know, get these modern versions, because every time somebody has a tendency to put something together called a Bible, amen, they may not change much, but if you change one little meaning somewhere without proper revelation, you can cause a whole host of people to take a wrong turn. Praise God. We got to stick as close as we can to the forever settled, perfect Word of God. And it may not all be written in a way that you can see it upon just reading it, but it is written by God, and God Himself has a way of putting it in your heart. And even if you can't read and write words, you can still know the Word of God. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Everybody say, no man in heaven or in earth was able to open it or look at it. Now, is Jesus in heaven or on the earth or both? No man. No man. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. And it's so beautiful how this unfolds. Weep not. Behold the lion. And this is where some people might get a little confused. Lion? Look at the lion. Take a look at this strong one that is coming forward, the lion. Behold, take a look. Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root. Now, it's not talking about two different things here. It's talking about the same thing, the lion and the root. Praise God. He's in Revelation, John is describing something that's going to make it possible that you can open up the Word of God, that you can get inside the center of all that's going on in God's kingdom. You can be a partaker of heavenly things that God, through this power He has provided, our strength, our salvation, the One whose name is glorious and above all names, He's revealing with the Word of God that is revealed to Him, amen, that the book will be open, has been open, shall be open, is open, by something beyond just a man. Praise God. He didn't say, behold, a man, because He just got through saying, no man. Although we know that there was a man who was crucified. We know there was a man who shed His blood. We know that God was manifest in the flesh. We know that if it had not been for Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, there would be no hope for any one of us. So in no way are we saying anything negative about all of that. We're just going on and taking a look without closing our minds, without closing our hearts, without closing ourselves out to what God wants to reveal. He wants us to look past the man, look past the cross, look past the suffering, look past the death, look past all the things that went on physical and realize there's some power here to be manifested. And it didn't just start at the virgin birth. There is a root underneath it all, and there is a power being handed down from generation to generation that's causing it all to come forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wept much, John said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, amen, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, everybody say, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Now, he talked about a root. He talked about a lion. Now, he's talking about a lamb. And it's all the same one. A lot of people listening right now around the world are hearing right now words, and they don't have the foggiest idea what we're talking about. But we're talking about perfection. We're talking about power. We're talking about the ability of a strength and a source of strength to get in the center of all creation and make it possible that something that God has provided can be opened up that no man can open. Hallelujah. Can be received that no man can make it possible to receive. You can't save anybody. And even though we're instructed to save ourselves, it's going to take something beyond your ability. Hallelujah. You can't save yourself. Amen. Save yourself from this underworld generation. But there's some revelation in that. How in the world are you going to save yourself? A drowning man can be out in the middle of the sea and going under, and you can yell all you want to, save yourself! Save yourself from the raging waves of the sea! I'm trying. I can't. I need help. I don't know what to do. Amen. Now, somebody says, well, I'll give you an answer. You see that boat coming by? Grab hold of it. Now he knows what to do to save himself. There is a plan of salvation. Grab hold of that boat and you hang on. Save yourself from the raging waves of the sea. Now it's starting to come together. Now it makes sense. Because how can you save yourself unless there's something provided to give salvation? Right. Hallelujah. Save yourself. That was said to the human race right after, repent. See, repent, baptism in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost. That's the boat going by. The whole multitude saying, "What shall we do? What shall we do? Is there any hope for us? What shall we do? Oh, we need help. What shall we do?" Here's your boat. Here's your rescue. Here's your answer. Grab hold of this. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself!" Grab a hold of Acts 2:38. That's where your salvation is. Hey, don't let anybody tell you Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation. That is how you save yourself. Let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Amen. No man. And I wept because no man was worthy to open it and to read it or to look at it. One of the elders said, don't cry, don't weep. Behold, the lion, the root, has prevailed. And I looked, and I saw a lamb. Praise God. A root and a lion has prevailed to open the book. And I looked, and in the midst of the throne, I saw a lamb. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking about the author and the finisher. We're talking about the one who started us all out and is the one that all three things spring forth from. See, Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. He is the one that if it were not for Jesus, there wouldn't have been a David. But God provided so that people could find more about Jesus through the prophets, through the lineage of David, those before David, those after David, right down through Jesus Christ, so they could pinpoint, we could pinpoint in history exactly where the Messiah was born, where the Christ was provided, where the Savior came to dwell and to make a way for a fallen race of humanity. And I say race, I'm talking about human race. Amen. That's the race that I'm for. Amen. If I'm prejudiced in any way, it's only because I prefer humanity. That's the race I love, the human race. Praise God. And if you don't like that, if I'm racial, that's your problem, because I don't know anybody's left out of this. If you're not a human, then maybe I offended you. But if I'm racial, it's only because I prefer the human race. I love everybody that's human. And none of them are less than another. I mean, there's no thought about color when I think about who I love. Amen. I love the human race. Why do I love them? Because God loves them. How dare I not to love what if He loves it, how dare me not love it? Especially when He said, if you don't love one another, you won't have my love in you. I command you to love one another. Well, if we have to do it because He commands us to love one another, it still may not be quite what it should be. Praise God. Amen. But we are instructed to love one another. I looked, and in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Now, have you ever seen some of these artists draw this out? I've seen some beautiful pictures. You see the head of a lion and a lamb, and you see all these horns, and it can't be expressed in art, although many have tried, and some of this art is very expensive, some of the older stuff. But it can't be drawn out on paper in a way that it really is. The only way that this can be received is through revelation. Amen. He said, I looked, and in the midst of the power, the authority where God sits, in the midst of that. Amen. And in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. Amen. And seven eyes. Oh my, now Jesus has seven eyes, huh? Seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. I was at a fellowship meeting once, and a preacher got up and he said, "You know, there was a time when I believed in three gods, and I have changed my mind." Everybody got happy. He said, "Whoo, glory!" He said, "Now I believe in seven." Because he read this scripture. There's seven gods. Seven spirits of God. See, it's a lacking of understanding. It doesn't take much understanding. If you want to know, praise God, just remember, the number seven is the number that represents perfection. Praise God. Whatever those horns are, it just means that that part of God that represents the word horns, I'm not sure what that even represents. I could probably find out from several scholars and find out different interpretations, and I could probably learn 10 different things it probably means or might mean or did mean or could mean, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's perfect. Amen. You can study just on the root only if you want to. But at the end of it all, it just turns out that Jesus is the one that starts us out. Praise God. Or you can just concentrate on the lion aspect of it all. But this is just another symbolic word that's used in Revelation to present Jesus Christ to those that have ears to hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. A lot of books can be written about the lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God. But it just all turns out that He is the power that was presented to that lineage to set all of us free. Praise God. And to perfect us. And to give us only what God could give us. And to reveal Himself unto us. Amen. So I saw in the midst of God's authority and power. Amen. And of the four beasts, and this can easily mean a lot of different things, but if you study just a little bit into the way this is all put together, the beast turns out to be humanity. And you can look at some of the Word of God, and you can, I mean, this may not be an accurate answer for you, but it's still a good answer. Amen. Humanity comes from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And since this book is a book of Revelation using symbols, numbers, and symbols to reveal God through Jesus to those who will let Him open understanding just because they're willing and obedient and humble before Him, it's okay to come up with something like that. Don't get hung up on it and make it a doctrine and say, "You've got to believe it. What this means is this." You can convince somebody to believe something if you want to, but you've got to consider all the Word of God. And if you're not careful, like some people are not careful, you'll get off on some tangent and try to teach something that it may not be backed up by something because you could miss something. You need to get your information from Jesus. And I know that this information is true, that there are many times that humanity is referred to as beast. And also there are times in the Word of God when it talks about the sea of humanity, it talks about waters of humanity, it talks about from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And so when you cover north, south, east, and west, that's pretty much all the people. All the beast. All four of them. Praise God. Amen. It's just a symbolic way to say that everything, every creature is subject to the one that has the power in the midst of God's throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Thank you, Jesus. As it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. In other words, it's just saying, perfect Jesus that can see all, knows all, and can provide His presence to all And he's perfect in the way he does it. Thank you, Jesus. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Amen. This lion, this root, this lamb, this one with seven horns and seven eyes and seven spirits came. In other words, this meek one, this strong and powerful one, praise God, this holy one, in perfection, this perfect one that God provided, thank you, Jesus, came and took the Word of God with all of its power, because God provided in him the ability to open it all up for all of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right hand represents power. Amen. When Stephen said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God," he was just simply saying, "I see Jesus Christ being the power of God. As I'm dying, I have revelation as to who Jesus is. He is the very power of the one that brought us forth and created us. I see Jesus as the power and the authority." This is a dying man being stoned to death saying, "I see the power of God in Jesus." Hallelujah. The right hand, that's what that's all about. That's not my interpretation. That's not my own personal revelation. That's just God's word that's all through the Bible. And if you don't get hung up on some argument or some debate about the persons in the Godhead, and you just let yourself be open and free before God and let the Lamb do His work, let the Lion do His work, let the Root be what He is, and just let God be God. God knows how to get things done right from His throne all the way to His footstool. Thank you, Jesus. You'll just let Him. Just let Him. He will teach you where the power is, and it's still in the right hand of His majesty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, or the Word of God that's forever settled, when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now we have, in the midst of humanity, we have 24 strong voices. We have the prophets. We have the 12 tribes of Israel. And we have the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And a lot of times there are things in the book of Revelation to describe in Revelation for all of us. Numbers are used talking about the masses of people and the effect of the apostles, amen, and the prophets and the various tribes. And 12 plus 12 is 24. And it might mean a whole lot of other things, but it's just fine with me. I can settle on the fact that I got my information from what God brought forth through Abraham's seed, amen, and what came to Calvary and presented us the apostles of the Lamb. One of them went bad. He had to be replaced because God wanted 12 there. Hallelujah. And in the upper room before the Holy Spirit came, amen, Judas was replaced. Judas, and it was prophesied even before it all took place that one would lose his bishopric. Another would take his place. It was talking about Judas. Long before Judas was even born, it was prophesied that there would be one of those disciples that would not be able to continue on. He would have to be replaced. That prophecy was fulfilled in the upper room before the Holy Ghost came, because God had a lot of things to reveal and He needed that number 12 to be in place. Hallelujah. So later when John would write the words, it's about 24, you know, it'd be hard to do that if you only had 11 apostles. You have to say something else, you know. But really, don't get hung up on the number 24, even what I'm saying right now about it, because it's all about revelation. We are here in the midst of God's power and authority being provided, everything we need in the Word of God, and God has it all settled and perfected. We have the strength and the power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We have everything that came forth from the root of God's planting. We're part of His planting. We all came from the same root. Praise God, including Jesus Himself. We all came from the same root. In the beginning, God created, and then He said, "Let there be." And then He reached down and scooped up man from the dust of the earth, and that's where the root of God sprang forth, and humanity came into existence. And in the middle of all that, He wanted the root to remain something that could bring forth. And He presented at Bethlehem the root. Praise God. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders, that's 24, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Amen. Just think about music. You know, in other words, this is talking about worship and praise and singing and making a joyful noise and playing music unto the Lord. And they had golden vials full of odors. In other words, great, beautiful smelling fragrances going up before God, which are the prayers of the saints. If you don't know any other reason to pray, just know that God smells your prayers. It's like giving forth a perfume into the nostrils of God. Hallelujah. He says to those that say, "I'm holier than you," or "I'm better than you," "You're a stink in my nostrils." But He says to those that pray, "You're a sweet smelling savor." Thank you, Jesus. And these people, amen, these people that we're reading about here in Revelation, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy." Now they're singing this song to the Lion and the Lamb and the Root, the one with the seven eyes and the seven horns and the seven spirits. They're singing this song to that one that is more than just a man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And they sung a new song saying, "You're worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Amen. So it wasn't just a man that hung on Calvary and gave his life for us. It was the Lion that hung there. It was the Lamb that hung there. Amen. It was the one with seven eyes. In other words, He can see everything perfectly. Hallelujah. It's the one with seven horns. Amen. It's the one that is perfect in every way, in wisdom and knowledge. And He is perfect. Amen. And He is able to bring forth the will of God. And He said, these people with their harps and their prayers, with their musical instruments and their prayers, started singing a new song. The Church of Christ people say there's nothing in the Bible about playing musical instruments in church. Well, there ain't much that I can say to those people, I don't suppose, because they wouldn't grasp this at all. Because they say there's no inspiration today, the days of miracles are over, God doesn't even hear our prayers, it's just a formality we go through. Praise God. Everything was settled when the book was written, you know, and they say that which is perfect has already come, it's all written down. There was no need, I mean, there was the only reason there was a need for supernatural things to happen was because the Bible hadn't been completed yet. But once the Bible was completed, now we just read it. And that's all there is to it. Nobody gets saved today, that's what they say. They call themselves Church of Christ and teach this garbage. And you say, you shouldn't fight other churches. I'm not. We're the Church of Christ. I'm fighting those heretic losers that are preaching false doctrine, sending people to hell. That's not a church. I won't even stoop to their pit of vomit that they call debate. I'm not interested. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I just let God reveal Himself. If they want Him, they can have Him too. There is revelation today. There is inspiration today. And there is backing in the Word of God to take your musical instruments and sing your song of praise. And you have a perfected, strong, powerful right to do it. And give honor to the One that sits upon the throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they took their harps and their prayers and their songs. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and were redeemed by Thy blood. Hallelujah. That's how I got that song. I'm just reading this verse one day and I wrote that. Don Johnson recorded it and it sold all over the country and I made $17. Amen. Royalty fees. Amen. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. No wonder, Sister Gloria gets up here and we feel so good when she says, Worthy! Worthy! I just love it. Those hands go up and she starts proclaiming how He is worthy. It feels so good because He is worthy. Praise God. And when you've been redeemed and you've been brought forward and you've been perfected by Him, yes, you can say, I am sin free because Jesus will not live where sin abounds. Amen. He will only live in a clean vessel. Amen. If Jesus is there, that means you're clean. If Jesus is in your life, that means you're pure. If Jesus is in your life, guiding your footsteps, that means you're holy. Amen. If Jesus is with you and in you, that means you're a holy, peculiar people. Praise God. It means you are sin free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. When you were baptized, you went into the water calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. If you have sinned, use that advocate. You do have an advocate with the Father. You're going to need Him. You got to get back to being perfect. They say you can't be perfect. God says you are when you have Christ in your life. They don't understand what revelation's all about. Revelation from God says you have to be perfect or you can't be saved. Man might see our faults and our failures and look upon this frame, as I talked Friday night about this house of the Lord. Amen. I'm standing here right now and I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Whether you like it or not. And God will not have an imperfect temple. This part of the temple is going to be torn down because there's got to be something to replace it. What you see, it's going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. But see, when somebody goes into an old rundown house and starts fixing it up, Brother Steve could probably tell you about this, you know. You go in, you move in. It might be a mess when you first move in. I tell you, I was a mess when Jesus came into my life. I was on my knees crying. I was sick of the way things had been. My life got in such a mess, the only answer was to have somebody come and fix everything. And He didn't start with the outside. He moved in. There's some buildings in Norwich that are condemned. And they don't want anybody to rent them out or lease them. But there's some folks living in those buildings because they've made an agreement. You let me move into that building, I will fix it and make something out of it so it won't be condemned anymore. That's what Jesus did for us. We were condemned. We were sinners. We were lost. We were messed up. And He said, let me move in and I'll fix it up inside and then I'll take care of the outside. Hallelujah. And so we walk around with all of our aches and pains and hurts and disappointments and this old flesh is just a mess sometimes. But on the inside, where do you see what's on the inside? He has put the finishing touches in this building. Amen. Don't let the outside fool you. The temple of the Holy Ghost is wonderful. It's precious. It's beautiful. If you don't understand it, you just haven't seen the inside where Jesus dwells. Hallelujah. And when we're changed, this mortality will be changed to immortality. I don't understand that because I've never experienced it yet. I don't know how to relate to immortality. I know I'm not immortal because I have hurt myself a few times. I tried to be Superman once when I was a child. Found out I can't jump off of a tall building with a cape on and it worked like it did for Superman. Amen. I went down. I thought I could fly. He did. I saw it every day. Every time I watched Superman on TV. He was able to leap tall buildings faster than a speeding bullet. And I was feeling so happy that day, feeling so good. I put a big red cape on and I went running across the top of our garage. And I just knew when I spread out my hands that I would just go gliding down to the earth. It didn't work. It didn't work. And there were several weeks after that I couldn't even walk. Praise God. Don't try it, children. I already experienced it. It doesn't work. So I'm not immortal. You're not immortal. If you take a hammer and you start nailing something into a board and nailing to the board, if you put your finger there where the hammer is coming down, you're going to hurt yourself. You ever hit yourself with a hammer, your finger with a hammer? If you go running through the building barefooted and hit your toe against a chair, it's going to hurt. Mine's still throbbing. My shoe is, I feel it going with every heartbeat on my little toe. I broke it about 3 weeks ago and it's still throbbing. Amen. I broke it and then I stubbed it two or three more times after that. It hurt worse the second and third time than it did the first time. You don't want to go around stubbing your toe after you broke it. Amen. You know what you do after you hurt yourself a few times? You start being careful where you walk. You start turning the light on and you kind of look and you hesitate. There's a spot over there where I fell about a year ago and I broke some ribs and I broke my foot. And I was simply running to the telephone, and I tripped on a wire. I tripped on a wire going through that door over there. And ever since then, even now, when I go through that door, I slow down. I take a look. I wonder where the wire is, and I step across it, and I take my time. I don't care how fast I'm going. I hesitate right there because I remember the pain. I remember coming out of there, that foot getting hung on that wire, and I was... The momentum was taking me forward. I couldn't do anything except go down. My foot was hung. And sometimes when I walk through that door, I very seldom run through it anymore. But whether I run or whether I walk, there's a hesitation right there at a certain spot. I can be in a hurry and all of a sudden, because I have memories that time cannot erase. I remember the pain. I remember the hurt. I remember rolling through this church with a wheelchair. I remember having to wait and couldn't get things done like I wanted them to. I was excited about some things and I had to slow down for a few weeks. And I don't want to go through that anymore. There are also some things I used to do when I was a sinner that sometimes I see people doing those things and I feel something beckoning to me. Come on out here. You've done this before. You can do it again. But it's sin. It's not right. And I remember the pain I was going through when I cried out to Jesus, deliver me from this. Take this out of my life. Change me. And so when I start getting near those things again, I hesitate. I pause. I wait upon the Lord. And I renew my strength because He has taught me in His Word how to be an overcomer. He put strength in us. The line of the tribe of Judah, and the Lamb has prevailed. The root and the offspring of David has given me something to grow from and to spring forth from. Amen. And in this planting of God, there is fruit of righteousness that includes a lot of things where sin just doesn't have a place. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much revelation available, but it's so simple. He uses words like lamb, root, hallelujah, horns, eyes, spirits, just simple words, book, right hand, throne. And you don't have to be a Bible college graduate to get this. In fact, that might mess you up. He has chosen seemingly the foolishness, the base things, the simple, those who will approach in just a simple, basic way. Let God be God. Admit you don't know much. And just let Him be God. He'll whisper in your ear, loving, inspirational revelation. Amen. You may see something that you think nobody else in the world sees. And all of a sudden, you'll meet with somebody that'll say exactly what you saw. Amen. They saw it too. And then you start finding out, hey, it's not just two of you. People are seeing this all over the world. Who are these people? They are the church of the living God. God speaks to His people. God speaks to His people. And when somebody brings a word that is not the truth, they know His voice. His people know His voice. And we're able to, you know, just let God be God. Now we have to let God be God. That means some wisdom and patience and long-suffering will be involved, because Jesus loves all those losers too. He loves them all. The ones spreading the propaganda. The ones writing the bad books. The ones just trying to tell people something that they shouldn't be telling them, how to be saved in a way that they're not going to be saved. And somehow in the middle of all this, if we depend upon our own strength, we may get red in the face and get mad and go at them and might displease God. God wants us to still be meek, humble, and lowly. His example of being a root and an offspring, His example of being a lion and a lamb, is something that He still is when He abides in our home. He comes into our house and He says, you be meek. Amen, because I'm meek. You be strong, but be strong in the Lord. Amen, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, not your own armor. Don't fight your battles in your own wisdom, in your own knowledge, and in your own power. Depend on the authority and the strength and the power of the one that sits on the throne, where now you're able to sit with Him and rule in righteousness. Hallelujah. There's a lot of good stuff here. They took their musical instruments, they took their harps, they took their prayers, they took their song, and started saying, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy to take this. This Word of God that's sealed and perfected forever. And nobody can look at it and nobody can handle it. But you're worthy. O Lamb of God, you're worthy. You that was slain. You that hung on a cross. You that has become alive and alive forevermore. You're worthy. Hallelujah. And I don't know the tune of the song. And the tune doesn't matter. See, when you were in the world, you were singing a song that the world understood. And then when you got saved, you started singing a song the world knows nothing about. Hallelujah. They call it a song sometimes that the angels cannot sing. It's not that the angels can't sing as well as you. They can sing a lot better than most of us. Amen. But the song that the angels cannot sing is any song that says, I have been redeemed. I have been washed, cleansed from sin. Angels don't have a plan of redemption. If they sin, they go to hell. They don't have an advocate. That's the end of it. It's over. Jesus was not crucified for the sins of angels. Hallelujah. So when we sing, I've been redeemed, that's a song that angels can't sing. When we talk about, I have been washed in the blood, those are statements that angels can't make. That's the song the angels can't sing. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's a wonderful song. That's not to give us a reason to puff ourselves up and say, I'm better than the angels. No, that's not what that's all about. Amen. When we get to heaven, when we're standing before heaven and we're saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and blessing and glory and wisdom and power. And we look at the one that sits on the throne and says, You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be adored. Amen. The angels will be going right along with us. They're going to be singing that song too. The whole host of heaven, the beasts that were beasts, but now they're not beasts anymore because the beast has been taken away. And now it's all just Jesus, and it is the offspring of Jesus, the heritage of Jesus, the ones that have inherited everything that the Son of God had, who have been changed to be like Him. You talk about praises going up. When we get to heaven, we're going to be praising as Jesus would praise. We're going to be singing as Jesus would sing. Hallelujah. It's going to be a powerful song. And I promise you, when we sing praises to God, the angels are going to be some of the loudest voices around that throne saying, Worthy, 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 holy, 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 thou art worthy. But there's going to be a holy hush, a part of the choir, a big part of the choir, when suddenly we start singing, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. It's kind of like, here's the big choir. Holy, holy, holy. Millions of us. Holy, holy. Spirits of just ones. Together forever. Holy, holy, holy. Thank God for the blood. All the angels stop and they listen. They're not offended by it. They're not hurt by it, and they don't feel like that they're being left out. It's just that's not their part to sing. Hallelujah. And so they listen. And this is something special to God because He took the nothingness that we all were. He took the impossible situation we were. He took the weakness that we all were. He took this no good, cursed humanity, and He said, I can make something out of you. When He made His angels, He made them to be what they are. And when a large multitude of them went down, it was because they made a mistake. And that's it. They make a mistake, they're out of here. And they'll never get back. Praise God. But God did something for His people. You make a mistake and there's a way back. And some of us are going to have a lot of things to sing about someday. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We're singing about it in our testimonies. We get to church and I thank God He brought me out of the miry clay. Praise God. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He delivered my soul. I was headed down to the pit. I didn't have any hope. I was a loser. I was going the wrong direction. Jesus reached down further than I could reach up. He lifted me up. He satisfied the longing of my soul. Thank God for the blood that has cleansed me, washed me, set me free. Thank God for the provision of repentance, baptism, and the power that's in the Holy Ghost. You know what? When we go to church, angels are here. We don't see them, but I believe it because of what I read in the Word of God. We have, I believe we have more angels here tonight than we do have people. And you can crowd a lot more angels into this room than you can people. Amen. You can have millions of angels in here and you can't get that many people in here. But when we're talking about the blood of Jesus and how it has been applied to our lives, don't think that they're not singing something. Praise God. You're up here with tears in your eyes saying, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross and shedding your blood for me. At the same time you're saying that, there's something else around you going, Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God tells us 24 hours a day around the clock, there are seraphim saying, Holy, holy, holy. And I don't care where you are, they're not going to stop that song. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Amen. But when it talks about being worthy because He's done for me what He has done through His blood, they go on saying, Holy, 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 while we say, You have been crucified for me. You're worthy. We've been redeemed by Your blood. Holy, holy, holy. I can't wait to be a part of that choir. I already am. And they sung a new song. Amen. And the song included the words, You've redeemed us to God. by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Four beasts. Amen. Amen. Could be looked at in a lot of ways. Hey, don't get hung up on who are the beasts of Revelation. Amen. Just remember who Jesus is that's given Revelation. Because if you want to know something about the beast, just remember how you used to be. That was a beast. That was a beast. But you bowed down before the throne. And you were able to say, Thou art worthy. You're holy. All the beasts that God touches are no longer beasts. Praise God. They're changed. The mark of the beast remains on the beast. All the beasts bear the mark. God knows where they all are. Amen. It's all 666666 everywhere you look. Humanity. The number of less than perfection. Human beast. A mass of beast. While the whole world is trying to find out where is this mark going to come from and who is going to be found worthy because they wouldn't take the mark, let me tell you who's going to be found worthy. Amen. It's the one that allows Jesus to erase the mark. Thank you, Jesus. He'll do it through baptism in Jesus' name. You already got the mark of the beast, whether you want to believe me or not. Listen, there are people who hear me say that. They say that I'm almost blaspheming because they're so hung up in what they want to believe the mark of the beast is about, the man of sin, and all these things they read about in all these end-time prophecy magazines and books and all these things they're getting from all these highly educated scholars that know everything about the end times. And some little ignorant Arkansas guy like me comes along with a small group of people and says, look, the mark of the beast has already been written right on the foreheads. 666 is already out there and a lot of people have taken it. In fact, the 666 represents the people. Hallelujah. And that's just God's way of using a number to say, you are marked with sin. And you need to be fixed. And that 6 needs to be changed to a 7. Then you get the 7 in your life, the 6 disappears. And then you have written on you. Amen. You have written King of Kings, Lord of Lords. All over you. It's on your thigh. It's on your forehead. Praise God. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees the King of Glory. What was a beast has now bowed down at the throne. And now you're giving glory and honor. And you're saying, Hallelujah, worthy art thou. I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. The man of sin being revealed. If you will let God reveal who the man of sin is to you, right now, you will not have to listen to the radio anymore to try to figure it out. You won't have to listen to all the people explain that it's this one or it's that one. You won't have to wait on some day for the man of sin to rule the whole world and give you a choice of where to run, try to hide, to keep from getting yourself killed by all these mobsters that are going to come after you if you won't take the mark. If you want to know who the man of sin is, if you're not a child of God, it's you. You're the one. You're influencing your family. You're putting pressures and powers on others just simply because you're a beast and you're a man of sin. You're a child of the devil and you're exercising your authority and power simply by example saying, you can be like me too. And all your pride and all your arrogance and all that you do to try to make yourself look right and good is just showing you to be the man of sin that you are. But God still sits on the throne and there's not anything going to happen in this world, whether there be a post-tribulation, a mid-tribulation, or any kind of tribulation. In this world we are always going to have tribulation, but we have overcome the world. We have overcome the man of sin. We have gotten past the mark of the beast.
And there's nothing in the future that's going to add to what we've already got when we got saved. There is no amount of Armageddon war. There is nothing that's going to be done in any of this world that's going to change what God has done through His authority and power sitting on the throne where He sits with us right now, ruling and reigning on this earth, where everything in heaven and in the earth is giving glory and honor to the One that sits upon the throne, saying, "You have redeemed us. You have brought us out. You have made it possible for us to be kings and priests and rule on this earth." Not just someday in a 1,000-year reign. Amen. We have been ruling and reigning with Christ now for 2,000 years. And I got in on a few of those years. Now, I'm not going down the street saying I'm your boss to anybody. But sometimes my flesh acts up and I say, "Stop it." I have authority over that because God is in me. You don't have any business raising your head up. You have been put under the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't hope I'm not boring you. I'm just kind of reviewing some beautiful stuff here. I want to get through. You know, there's people going to hate me for saying what I'm saying tonight. Now, y'all understand. But you know what? The whole world is just going after lies, craziness, reading books, and all they're doing is entertaining themselves. And if somebody doesn't go ahead and stand up and say, "Look, there is a Savior who makes it possible. You don't even have to think about tribulation, mark of the beast, any of that stuff." Because all of these things mentioned in Revelation is simply what it is. It's revelation of Jesus Christ. He wants our focus to be on He has all power in heaven and in earth. He is a deliverer from all situations. He is the Savior. He is our help in the time of need. There is nothing in any book written or any kind of prophecy magazine, amen, that can affect or change what God did for you when you got saved. Hallelujah. You don't have to get caught up in all this junk. Amen. Now, this disappoints a lot of people who are raising the red heifers and waiting on the tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem to be just right, because what they're trying to say now is, you know, all these years, the reason Jesus hasn't come back to set up His throne on the earth is because they have discovered the temple needs to be moved just a few inches. Because they're not seeing what the temple of the Lord is all about. Amen. That temple in Jerusalem was representative of what the temple of God would be about, which we talked about Friday night. Amen. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That temple in Jerusalem has nothing to do with your Holy Ghost experience. And God is not dwelling in houses made with hands. Amen. Amen. That temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed someday. We're not going to travel back and forth to Jerusalem. We have put on a heavenly Jerusalem where the King of glory still rules and still reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And no matter what I say on these issues, I get labeled by other preachers. "Oh, you said that, that means you're this," or "that means you're that." No, it just means that the Word of God is what it is, and I still read it and I still believe it. If Jesus Christ, because of what He wrote in His Word, is messed up, then I am too, because I'm with Him. Hallelujah. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." That's a whole lot of them. Amen. And even that is a remnant. Praise God. "Saying with a loud voice," everybody say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all they that are in them
heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful just to read? And the four beasts said, Amen. Amen. All humanity said, Amen. Amen. How can they not say Amen? Hallelujah. All the power is with Jesus. I don't care what it is you are, who you think you are, how much you've got, or what you think you can accomplish. It's amazing. It is amazing. I don't care how rich a person is. When they need a drink of water, it's worth more than all their treasures. Oh, then they need one more breath to breathe. A billionaire will give billions for just a few more minutes to live. Or a starving, thirsty person lost in a desert for one drink of water would give up his fortunes for just one glass of cool water. Thank you, Jesus. Just think what you got. You got wells of living water springing up in your life. You were a thirsty soul wandering in a desert filled with sin, dry places, not able to find satisfaction when Jesus came and gave you waters to drink, food to eat, strength to endure. Amen. You were just a beast. He knew where you were. He knew what you were. We all have sinned and we've all come short. But that didn't stop Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God has prevailed. The Lamb of God has prevailed. The Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus. No wonder we sing a song, praise God, that makes us feel happy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy because I was a sinner, but you made me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. I've just been reading just a portion of the book of Revelation, but it made me feel good. I just wanted to get it off my chest. Made me feel happy. Hope you enjoyed it or endured it or will let me speak again someday. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people, they're just looking to go to heaven someday so they'll have a robe and a crown. If you don't get your robe and your crown now, you won't ever see one in heaven. I'm standing here right now with my robe and my crown. Praise God. The robe is a robe of righteousness. The robe is something that God has clothed me with. It's not something for you to look at and see what color it is, but if it has a problem or if it's something that you like or don't like. I didn't buy it at Sears. Thank you, Jesus. And I didn't have to charge my credit card for this. But it's worth more than anything the credit cards could buy. It's a robe. It's fine linen. It's clean. It's pure. It's blood bought, washed in red blood, and it comes out spotless white. Fine linen. Amen. It's the righteousness of the saints of God. If you expect to go to heaven someday, when you enter the gate, have St. Peter put a crown on your head and a robe around you and say, welcome. You now have your robe and your crown. You're missing some of the greatest blessings in Revelation. Praise God. Get your robe now. It is your wedding garment. You got to have it on before you go there. If you can understand what I'm saying. Praise God. You're invited. I don't care if you're halt, lame, you're no good, you're ornery. Amen. Some of the believers Jesus spent years reaching for through the tribe of Judah, reaching as the word of God, following them in the wilderness, providing bread when they were hungry, water when they were thirsty, giving them direction, providing miracles as the word of God from the very creation that was spoken to bring it all to pass. He went with them.
Amen. He followed them through the wilderness and all the things that they went through, the sacrifices and everything. Gave them prophets. He spoke to them concerning that which was and is to come. Gave illustrations of what it's all about with David and Daniel and the three Hebrew children and all these events that took place, pointing to something great that it's going to unfold. He did all that, and yet they rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to them that receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah, who are not born of blood or the will of the flesh, but born of God. I'm a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus. Can't let the problems of this world get me around, turn me around. Amen. I'm headed for heaven. I got a home that's eternal where I'll put on my robe and shine a new crown. Which one am I going to put on? The one I got on now. Amen. I put the same clothes on when I go to church. Just because I wore them tonight don't mean I won't wear them again. And I'm going to wear this robe when I get to heaven. It's my Holy Ghost power. Let's praise and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Crown of life. I already have my crown of life. It's abundant life. I love it. You hear me? You hear what God is saying to the churches? There's more to salvation than someday we're going to heaven. Although, someday we're going to heaven. We need heavenly experiences along the way. We need little signs following us as we go forward. These signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. Why won't it hurt them? Because Jesus is there. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens to you. Drinking deadly things, if all you can see is somebody hands you some poison, you drink it and you don't get hurt. Or somebody gives you a snake to handle and it didn't bite you. That's not what this is about. Amen. An illustration of a snake biting a man is in the Bible. Paul picked up a snake, it bit him, it didn't hurt him. But even that is a physical illustration of a spiritual application that God wants to teach us through revelation. Hallelujah. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you find the serpent, it's the devil. Praise God, it's the devil, and it's everything that crawls on his belly after that thing. Amen. When it comes to you, when those serpents come to you and say, did God say this? Let me tell you a different way. Did the Word say this? That preacher teach you that? Let me tell you something this. Those are snakes, amen, and they can't hurt you. Those are serpents. They've always tried to deceive. They've always tried to destroy. But one gets fastened to you, shake it off in the fire. I'm not talking about a fire that burns. I'm talking about shake it off in the fire. I'm talking about the fire of God that comes with the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the Holy Ghost and the power. You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and the fire. What is this all about? It's praising God with power and strength. And everything that's not part of what God wants, you shake it off in the fire. You're baptized. Test of the Holy Ghost, and you get rid of the snake, you shake it off in the fire. You get rid of the beast, you shake it off in the fire. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Listen to the propaganda, listen to their voice, listen to their lies, listen to the deception. It's not going to hurt you. It's what comes from your heart that counts. And you got Jesus in there, ruling and reigning from the heart on the throne of His Majesty. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name, they'll cast out devils. That's what I'm talking about. Shake them off in the fire. Amen. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Hey, I hear a lot of people say, that's talking about speaking in tongues. Well, when you speak in tongues, it's a new tongue. But you people are speaking in new tongues even when you're not speaking in tongues. Brother Brad, you don't talk like you used to talk, do you? He's speaking with new tongues. Praise God. Brother Rick, you don't talk like you used to talk, do you? Speaking with new tongues. We're speaking praise and honor and glory to Jesus. Just come around the front. Amen. And we're singing a new song. Amen. And we're casting out devils. You don't have to call somebody out of the crowd and lay hands on them and say, come out in the name of Jesus. Hey, look, every time you praise the Lord, you're casting out devils. Everything is trying to attach itself to you and say, I want you back. I want you to go this way. I want you to do that. Everything your flesh is trying to make you do that you know is not right, cast it out just by simply shaking it off in the fire, praising your God. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Amen. They shall speak with new tongues. They take up serpents. Amen. Just take those old silly spirits, shake them around a little bit, and realize that you got the power, the authority. Your choice was to obey God. Sorry, Adam messed up, but not me. Praise God. Take it off in the fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. If they drank any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Thank you, Jesus. Would you praise Him? Praise Him. Cast out a devil or two. Cast them out, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shake it off in the fire. Thank you, Lord. Believe the good news. Believe the report. Let the arm of the Lord be revealed to you. It's an arm outstretched to compassionate, loving Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.